Saga Egmont presents Sculptor's Daughter by Torva Jansson, translated from the Swedish by Kingsley Hart, and read by me, Sarah Kestelman. The Golden Calf. Grandfather was a clergyman and used to preach to the king. Once, before his children and his children's children and his children's children's children covered the face of the earth, Grandfather came to a long field which was surrounded by forests and hills so that it looked like paradise. At one end, it opened out into a bay for his descendants to bathe in. Then Grandfather thought, "Here will I dwell and multiply, for verily this is the land of Canaan." Then Grandfather and Grandmother built a big two-story house with a sloping roof and lots of rooms and steps and terraces and a huge veranda, and placed plain wooden furniture everywhere, inside and outside the house. And when it was ready, Grandfather began to plant things until the field became a Garden of Eden, where he walked around in his big black beard. All he had to do was to point at a plant, and it was blessed and grew until it groaned under its own weight. The whole house was overgrown with honeysuckle and Virginia creeper, and walls of small rambler roses grew around the veranda. Inside these walls, Grandmother sat in a pale grey silk dress and brought up her children. There were so many bees and bumblebees flying around her that it sounded like soft organ music. And in the daytime, it was sunny, and at night it rained, and in the rock garden there lived an angel who wasn't to be disturbed. She was still there when Mummy and I went out to live in the West Room, which also had white furniture and peaceful pictures, but no sculpture. I was a grandchild. Karin was another grandchild, but her hair curled naturally, and she had very big eyes. We played the children of Israel together in the field. God lived on the hill above the rock garden, and there was a forbidden cart up there. At sunset, he spread out like a mist over the house and the field. He could make himself quite small and creep in everywhere in order to see what one was doing. And sometimes he was only a great big eye. Moreover, he looked just like Grandfather. We raised our voices in the wilderness and were continually disobedient because God so likes to forgive sinners. God forbade us to gather manna under the laburnum tree, but we did all the same. Then he sent worms up from the earth to eat up the manna, but we went on being disobedient, and we still raised our voices. All the time, we expected him to get so angry that he would show himself. The very idea was tremendous. We could think of nothing but God. We sacrificed to him. We gave him blueberries and crab apples and flowers and milk. And sometimes we made a small burnt offering. We sang for him and we prayed to him to give us a sign that he was interested in what we were doing. One morning, Karin said that the sign had come to her. He had sent a yellow bunting into her room, and it had perched on the picture of Jesus walking on the waters and nodded its head three times. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Karin said, "many are called, but few are chosen." She put on a white dress and went round all day with roses in her hair and sang hymns and carried on in a very affected way. She was more beautiful than ever, and I hated her. My window had been open too. I had a picture of the guardian angel at the abyss on my wall. I had burnt as many burnt offerings and picked even more blueberries for him. And as for raising my voice in the wilderness...